Hi everyone, my name is Danielle Campaign and I am coming to you from UCSF Fresno. So this is a great case illustrating the presentation of traumatic diaphragmatic rupture after a motor vehicle collision. As you can see from the case history, this woman presented to the ER in severe respiratory distress. She was complaining of severe chest pain. Her vitals, though, were surprisingly stable given the extent of her injury, with the liver having eviscerated into her chest cavity on the right, and it was up at the level of her carina. So you can imagine it was quite difficult for her to breathe. So let's talk about traumatic diaphragmatic rupture. You know, it's a really rare injury. It occurs more often in penetrating trauma than blunt. I mean, blunt trauma only occurs in 5% of the cases, and 90% of these cases involve the left side, not the right, as in this case. The most common causes are motor vehicle crashes, followed by then falls and stab wounds, and then like agricultural machinery accidents take up a very small minority. This diagnosis, diaphragm rupture, can be used as a marker of severe injury since it takes quite a bit of force to disrupt the diaphragm. It is common to see other significant injuries like shock and respiratory failure and other visceral injury and neurologic injury when a diaphragm rupture is present. Because of the severity of other injuries, it is easy to miss diaphragmatic injuries in the acute presentation, since these other life-threatening injuries will complicate the clinical picture. Of note in this case, it is very interesting that in our local four-county EMS system, if this patient with the respiratory symptoms, the severe chest pain, had become unstable, in our paramedic protocols, they define instability with a systolic blood pressure less than 90, She would have been a candidate for our paramedics to do an emergent right-sided neothoracostomy. In these protocols, the paramedics use two sites, either the mid-clavicular line or the mid-axillary line, as per the policies, and usually the mid-axillary line is the most preferred. So if a needle thoracostomy had been performed in the mid-axillary line in this patient, the needle would have likely punctured her liver that had been in her chest cavity, and it actually probably would have made this patient's worse, this condition worse. So kind of just a side note on this interesting aspect of the case. So how best to diagnose this complex rare injury? Well, it's usually diagnosed on chest x-ray or chest CT, sometimes ultrasound. Chest x-ray is used in the initial imaging of most trauma patients. And on chest x-ray, the right diaphragmatic injuries can be present as a right hemidiaphragm elevation. You could see obliteration or distortion of the outline of the hemidiaphragm. You can see a hemothorax or fractured lower ribs, and occasionally a leftward mediastinal shift. Chest x-ray has a 46% sensitivity for left-sided ruptures, but only a 17% for right-sided ruptures. So you can tell this diagnosis is very complex to make in the initial acute setting. However, in the literature, it talks about repeating chest x-ray 6 hours later to help increase your sensitivity. But as you know, in most patients that are critically ill, you don't wait to repeat your chest x-ray. They're going to go straight to CT scan. So in this case, also, the patient went straight to CT scan. And on CT scan, the most common findings are discontinuity of the diaphragm. You get visceral herniation. And you can see what's called a collar sign, which is waist-like constriction of the bowel. You can also get elevation of the liver hilum or elevation of the hemidiaphragm. And this injury most commonly is diagnosed with herniation of the intra-abdominal contents into the chest wall. And you can see this on imaging like in CAT scan or on exploratory laparotomy where they're going for an X-lap for other reasons. When you're talking about organs, the most common organ that's herniated is the stomach, with 60% of them being the stomach, followed by the omentum, then the colon, then the spleen, and least common is the liver, like was in this case. There's a lot of new literature out about ultrasound in the FAST exam as being helpful in the diagnosis of traumatic diaphragmatic rupture. An experienced operator can evaluate for the presence of diaphragmatic flaps, abnormal diaphragmatic motion, or herniation of viscera. The only thing about ultrasound, it is operator dependent and is limited when there's sub-Q emphysema or chest wall pain, or on the left side it can be limited by stomach gas or gas in a splenic flexure. So if there's a high clinical suspicion for diaphragmatic rupture without confirmation by imaging, observation and repeat imaging will help solidify the diagnosis. One interesting point to talk about, or the last final point to talk about with traumatic diaphragmatic rupture, is it sometimes is not diagnosed in the acute setting, and these injuries present much later, and they present kind of an obstructive phase. It can be months to years after the initial injury. This is where the bowel or viscera have herniated and become strangulated through this diaphragmatic defect. So up to 15% of all diaphragmatic injuries are found as a delayed diagnosis. So common symptoms when they present very delayed are hemodynamic instability, severe shortness of breath, constipation, obstipation, and rarely pneumopericarditis or tension pheco-pneumothorax. If those of you are listening like I did when I first was learning about this, what the heck is pheco-pneumothorax? Well, if you can imagine, your colon gets strangulated in the diaphragm tear, and then the bowel perforates. And when you go to put a chest tube in to drain these contents in the chest, you get hair back, and you also get fecal material back. There's actually 11 reported cases in the literature, and the last I checked, the last one I presented 6 years after the motor vehicle collision that caused the diaphragmatic rupture. So it takes a while for the bowel to herniate in and to cause this weird complication. In conclusion, today the take-home points are: traumatic diaphragmatic rupture is rare. It can be very difficult to diagnose. Maintain a high index of suspicion in patients with other severe life-threatening injuries. Remember, it's more common in penetrating trauma than blunt, and right-sided ruptures are more difficult to diagnose than left. And in this interesting case, needle thoracostomy in this multi-system trauma patient can normally be life-saving, but in this case may have caused additional problems.